read, and then I'll let you all be seated. John 6 and 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him and said unto Philip, this is interesting, this is a really interesting question. When shall we buy bread? Where are we going to buy bread? That these guys should eat. And he said to prove him, it was a test. The sign didn't say this is a test. They didn't have a screen in the back of the auditorium that said, caution, test ahead. Tests rarely announce themselves. They just show up unexpectedly in your day-to-day life, and it's a test. Philip answered, like most of you would, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them would even take a little, just a little corner of something. It's almost impossible that we would supply them food. Verse 8, I'll get back to scripture. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, just a little boy, right here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. I heard a Sunday school teacher one time say, you remember the story he's teaching kids in Sunday school, and it's a modern version, you know, the popular version, the idea that the miracles in the Bible aren't really accurate. And so actually what happened was they had 2 large fish, almost the size of whales, so they could feed 5,000. And it wasn't small barley cakes. They were large, round, big barley cakes. And so that's really how this supposed miracle happened. It was 2 giant fish and 5 loaves, giant loaves of bread. And one little child raised his hand in the back of the room and said, well, it's still a miracle. And the teacher said, I just explained it wasn't a miracle. What are you saying? It's still a miracle. Well, little boy had all of that in his basket. And he carried it to Jesus. Hallelujah. People are dumb. They're just dumb when it comes to try to. Out of the mouth of a baby. Amen. Children have faith. It's when you get older and you start doing a bunch of dumb stuff. Amen. You all of a sudden say, well, I'm going to live in reality. Amen. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a child. Amen. I'm going to challenge you today to have a different kind of faith than sometimes you carry into church or you carry around with you in your daily life. Amen. Maybe have a little boy's faith. 2 small fish, but, and then here's humanity. What are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men to sit down, and there was much grass in that place, and so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise, the fishes, as much as they would, until they were full. Amen. They were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they'd seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that a prophet should come into the world. Pray with me, would you? Amen. God, we thank you for the word of God that calls to us, that lifts our hearts and minds. I pray, God, that today our hearts and minds would once again be lifted up in faith to trust in you, to see your marvelous plan in Scripture and how it applies into our life as well. Let faith arise and our enemy be vanquished, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for that in Jesus' great name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. First off, your faith has an enemy. Okay. I'm waiting for everybody to get their purses put up and their children organized. Take a finger. One finger. I'm looking around. Amen. Point it at yourself and say, my faith gets attacked. My faith gets attacked. My faith is challenged. My faith is tested. Amen. It's not just a biblical story. We all have our faith tested on a regular basis. Jesus puts us to the test. Now, it's not him testing us, but he certainly is allowing tests to come into our life. The Bible says God does not tempt any man. God's not trying to have us fail, have us back out, have us leave the church, have us, we use the term backslide, have us give up, throw down, walk away. God is never challenging us to accomplish that. But God is challenging us about the level of our faith, and not for God's ability, but for our ability to see where our faith is. It's because if you fail the test and you see that you don't have faith, it's for you to dig up a place and find an altar, amen, or find a sermon or a song or something to inspire you to build up your faith. The Bible talks very clearly that we are to build up our own faith. Amen. It's not my job to hand you faith, and I cannot do that. As long as I've been pastoring, I've pastored now for, 35 years almost pastoring, I realize that I cannot hand you faith. I can't make you have faith. I can't force you to have faith. Amen. I can offer you faith. I can cut off a piece of my faith, and I try to when I'm preaching. I try to cut off a piece of my faith and hand it to you as I would a piece of apple pie. Amen. Here, take this. This is really good. Eat it up. It will benefit you. I picked up a apple pie recipe a few years ago. I like apple pie. My boys like pumpkin pie. I do not like pumpkin pie. And inevitably, year over year over year, we get pumpkin pies at Thanksgiving and a little something for me somewhere along the line. But it's not really, they like pumpkin pies, and I just really don't want a pumpkin pie ever in my life do I want a pumpkin pie. So a couple years ago, I thought, well, I guess if I'm going to have an apple pie or something that I really like, I'm going to have to figure it out myself. So I Googled it. And I found one of the greatest pumpkin pies recipes, and it's easy. I mean, apple. I switched it around, didn't I? Cut that out of the tape. I don't want anybody ever to find that I said that. Amen. Apple pies, and it is absolutely phenomenal, better than Das Dutchman, I'm sure it is. And I'll sell them for $29.95 a piece if you're interested. I'm just kidding. I like them. It is what I like. I really do like it. And I would cut you off a piece of that if you're at my house at Thanksgiving. And with pleasure, watch you put it in your mouth and be benefited by it. And I feel the same way about every sermon I preach. I'm trying my best to share faith, to cut off a piece of delicious, life-changing faith and feeding it to somebody and see their life. Because I have. I've seen people without faith adopt faith. And it enlivens their eyes. And I mean, it changes who they are as a person because they've tasted of faith. And so Jesus is here and he is testing. He's not testing to destroy, but he's testing to bring about a better result. He's trying to feed him a piece of faith pie so his faith will grow and he'll have better faith, stronger faith, more faith after the situation where he decides that he doesn't have the sufficiency to accomplish the task, when he is not up to accomplishing the problem that God has given him. There's so much truth in this little few verses. Amen. God always gives us challenges that are bigger than ourselves. Your challenges are not to be given to you. They're not designed for you to handle them. Let me say that again. It's too big for you. It's designed to be too big for you. God makes our lives too big for us, our problems too big for us. And so he challenges Philip, and Philip, you could say, fails the test. I would say he meets Jesus's expectations. He's not going to be able to have the faith because he's never seen this before. You know, if I'm standing up here preaching, dogs are going to fly through the auditorium. The Lord just told me dogs are going to begin flying through the auditorium. There is not one single person in the room that's going to go, "Yes, Lord." I mean, some of you have been around church all your life, and you're going to go, "I ain't never seen no dog fly in church. I don't believe no dog's ever going to fly in church. Preacher's done gone crazy." That's the way Wayne would say it anyway. You wouldn't believe it because you've never, who's ever seen 5,000 fed? The barley was actually a poor man's biscuit. Barley was the cheapest. The idea is it's the roughest. It's not white bread. It's not Wonder Bread in the beautiful packaging that's beautifully white. Looks like it's been baptized because all of its sins are gone. Barley looks like the sinner. There's little chunks of things in there. There's little seeds and husk in there. It's a rougher version of bread. It's cheaper to make. It's cheaper to buy. In fact, history tells us it's about one third the price of wheat bread. And so mainly if you wanted to show people you were poor, you would pull out a barley cake. And everyone around you would know, well, they probably can't afford real wheat. They're poor. And so this little boy has poor bread. And the Bible's pretty clear, actually. A couple of little fish. Now, if he'd have caught them, he would have described them as this big. But Jesus described them as a couple of little fish that he brought, and it was enough. It was his lunch. It was enough for a little boy. He had enough. He was going to be full at the end of his lunch. The little boy is the only one that prepared himself for the day. And if we know little boys, it was likely not his doing. His mother said, "Well, if you're going to go there today, if you're going to be running around and you're going to be following Jesus, who knows where he's going? Here, let me pack you a lunch." I'm telling you, the one thing my wife is good at is preparing everybody in the room for the day. What, do you have your shoes? Do you have your hat? Do you have your gloves? Do you have the things that you are asking for? Did you pick up your briefcase? Did you put your iPad in your backpack? Did you get your power cords? Is it all there? And I mean, she's everything, getting everything. There's all the pieces of travel, and we travel some. And so we've learned how to travel. Now we pack our clothes in little cubes. And so we put our clothes in a little cube. When you get to the store, a little fabric cube, or you get to the hotel, you open up your drawer, you pull out the cube, and you throw my cube here and my sock cube there, and close the drawer and open up the drawer and throw my wife's cube here and, you know, her other cube there. And so we've got everything we need in two drawers and a cube. We don't open them up. We don't leave them in the suitcase. We empty it out, and it's pick, pick, throw, throw, pick, pick, throw, throw, close the drawers, and we're moved into a hotel room. So when it's time to get ready in the morning, you pull the drawer, unzip, pull out whatever you need, and then you close it back up, and it all stays in there. When we get done at the end of it all, you zip it back up and throw it in our suitcase and our dirty clothes in a bag, and we're gone. I mean, we're out the door, headed away very quickly. Don't leave anything, don't lose anything, and it's all very efficient way to travel, we believe. And we've been doing that now for a number of years, getting ready to go. And my wife is very good at getting ready to go. Wasn't that little boy? Little boys are helter-skelter. They're sweating from playing on the playground, dirty knees, dirty hands. And yet, she banked a miracle. So lunch, like every other lunch, like every other day, he was out running around in the yard. But I want to talk to you. Jesus asked, hey, we got to feed them. And his expectation was, there's no way that we could ever do this. But there's something else that happens at the end of it. Jesus says, you know what? This is an interesting statement. A lot of you would reflect this statement. I don't want to leave anything on the ground. There's no sense wasting it. So I tell you what. Let's do something. I need to get 12, all of my disciples. And I want you all to get baskets. Where do they get baskets? Out in a vast field with 5,000 people sitting around? Who had baskets? I don't read that they carried baskets with them on the field. Hey, Jesus, we got our basket right here. We've carried it on top of our head. Or as the women used to carry stuff, we've carried our basket and here we are. We've got our basket for what comes next. I don't know where they get baskets, but they got baskets. And they've got 12, one for each of the disciples. Jesus had prayed over the bread and broke it. And the Bible says he handed some to his disciples, prayed over the fish, handed a few. I don't know where the youth group went, but not very many of them down. Oh, y'all are hanging out over there today. So gave some and passed off a little and said, okay, your job's to go out. So go do that. Go pass out. Let's pass out. Pass out the fish. Pass out the. We've been praying for Melinda. I'm glad she's in church today. Amen. I want to know that I missed you. I thought you were going to come up and get prayed for a few minutes ago. Amen. We'll pray for you at the end of service. Will you let us do that? Amen. Amen. She's going for MRI and some things, and I'm thankful she's here in church today. This may just apply. Hey, are they getting fed well over there? You don't look like you're really feeding them well over there. They already got all they need. They got some. I think they're calling for more over there. It's designed that they were full. Casey wants his own basket. So at the end of it, they were full. And Jesus said, let's not waste any. I want to preach for a little bit about leftovers. I want you to just go with me for a little bit. I don't know how many times that Jesus did a miracle and that there were leftovers. The man that was blind, that he spit into the ground and wadded up the mud and wiped it in his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he opened his eyes and he began to see. He didn't give him a third eye. The guy that was lame, that went leaping and jumping and praising God when the apostles prayed for him, he didn't grow a third leg. He didn't grow the extra leg. The man who needed to stretch forth his hand, his withered hand, and Jesus said, stretch it forth, and all of a sudden it had 12 fingers. Think about the extra. But in this particular miracle, he called the disciples up and said, here, get your basket, go load it up. Make sure nothing's left behind. We want to gather all the little fragments. There's another unique part of this story. He doesn't say what he's going to do with the fragments. Do you ever have leftovers? Do you ever go out to eat and get leftovers? Waitress comes to your table, said, what do you want to do with the rest of that? You know, do you want a box for that? And how many times have you gotten a box and left it on the table? It's a really funny thing. How many of you are going to starve if you don't take home the leftovers? And so you how valuable are they? In our society, who in the room didn't eat because you didn't have food today? There's not enough food for you to put a bite in your mouth today. If there, and you may not want to raise your hand, there may be somebody in the room that you face that. If that's true, come see me after church. I'll make sure you have lunch. In our day and age, as much as the government helps people, and it, are you done?
Someone wasn't too hungry.
Somebody put in an electronics duster. Thank you very much. So I'll go use that in my laptop or whatever after church. But I don't know how big the baskets were. But for some reason, Jesus was interested in leftovers. What would you do with leftovers? What would you do with 12 baskets of bread and fish? What does the Bible say they did with 12 baskets of bread and fish? Somebody's saying something. It's not a great spiritual truth. They have leftovers. But barley bread is not very good the first time. And little fish, if you've ever tried to keep fish that's been cooked and ready to eat, how long is it going to last on the walk back to Bethany? Or the walk back to Nazareth, go kind of around the Sea of Galilee, and maybe you're going to Capernaum on the north side, and maybe it's not that far, but 5,000 people, they've got a journey, and there's only 12 baskets. How can you spread that amongst 5,000? There's a lot of questions that you can ask about what does this mean, but I want you to know, amen, it really means that there's more of God than you'll ever need, amen, that He knows exactly what you have need of. Amen. And his leftovers are more. Amen. He's got more than you hope for, more than you dream about, more than you ever could want. Amen. And he's got enough that he can fill baskets full of food. If you think that he can't accomplish the task that you've got at hand or the event that he wants to accomplish in your life, take a look at this scripture. He has more than enough. He has more miracles, more power, more anointing, amen, than you have. You ever wondered? I know you have. That's okay for them, but what about for? There's just something here about leftovers. You've got to look at, hold on to that for a minute. Just stay there with me. You can handle that. Good looking fella like you. The idea that there's something more. I got to ask this. When does a miracle expire? When does a miracle expire? I hear several nevers. Let's define it. A miracle is a supernatural event that happens and brings a natural result that is unexpected, a surprise. Maybe you've had faith in it and it eventually comes, but we're almost always surprised by when God actually does a miracle. Wow, look at that. God did a miracle. I'm surprised. Don't you say that? If you have something supernatural happen in your life, well, God really did it. And then we testify with that kind of expression. Wow, God really did it for me this week. I was out of food or out of money or out of time, and just God opened up a way. And wow, I'm so thankful to the Lord that he answered that particular prayer. And generally, it's with a note of surprise that God has accomplished that. So how long should you testify of his miracle? How much should you tell others about what God has done? When does a miracle expire? If we could just see the mighty, majestic miracles that God's doing all across the world. I have friends, blind eyes are being opened. The lame are walking. I met the man who prayed his wife back to life after being dead for 4 days. Saw her picture on the wall. First thing she said to him after she came back to life, she said, "Why did you do that? If I die, don't do that again, because I don't want to come back here. I was living up there and I want to stay up there. I don't want to come back here." So there's a different perspective sometimes that you gain through a miracle. But the idea that a miracle would ever expire, that it would ever go out, the only time it goes dormant is in when we forget about it, when we stop telling the tale, when we don't pick it up. And there's something about the leftovers and the leave-behinds. There are sometimes no leave-behinds in a $100 bill you find that's able to pay whatever it is you need to pay, or a check that shows up in the mail and it's $300 or $500. I'll never forget the day that a man in our church, when I was newly married and newly babied with Isaac, and we had lots of bills and lots of expenses, and my wife was having lots of medical problems, and it was lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff going on in our life. And a guy walked up to me and said, "Look, the Lord has led me to hand you $50. Now, $50 hardly gets McDonald's today. But back then, 300 years ago when I was in my 20s, $50 really felt like it went a long way. And I'm telling you, I'd prayed for and I couldn't get $50 out of the hole. For weeks, probably months. We're always around $50 short. We still gave our offerings. We still paid our tithe. Amen. Because I believe that God's 90 goes further than my 100. You're never going to change that in me. Amen. I believe if you put God first in your life and you give God that first 10% out of your paycheck, amen, I believe God's going to work out the other 90 and stretch it, and you're going to be blessed. He said, it's the only place in the Bible where he says, try me and see if I don't take and pour out upon you a blessing. If you'll believe me for it, amen, I'll pour out a blessing on you. And I gave to missions, and we gave to home missions, and we gave to whatever. And we're always $50 short. And the guy walked up, and I know this sounds like nothing to you. But on that day, in that time in my life, I was challenged. Do I give to God, or do I take care of this shortfall? And we kept giving to the Lord. And one day this man walked up and he said, I just feel like I ought to give this to you. Handed me $50. I'm telling you, I was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. I didn't do it right then, but I just, oh, thank you kindly. I'm not sure we really need it, but thank you very much, you know. You know how you do, you kind of cover it up, how desperate you are. I wanted to grab it out of his hand, put it in my pocket, said, mine, 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 you can't have it back, it's mine. But I didn't do that. I was kind and gracious. I hope I was. I feel like I was. He may tell a different story today. He said there was a hunger in his eyes when he looked at that. Maybe there was. Amen. But the Lord helped. And I'll never forget Isaac's testimony. We're going to go to Peru. And he was in college and married, and he didn't have much. The day before we were to leave, he needed, I think it was $400 to go. We'd paid for the trip. I told him I was not going to pay it at all. He had to have his own money. Not because I'm a meanie, but I just felt like he needed to do that. I think put a little pressure on him. God needs to fight his battles, just not my battles alone. So, and I didn't really have a lot of extra money, but I just felt like that's what I needed to do. And he didn't tell me where he was. And so he was working, and he clocked out at his hotel. He was a concierge at the hotel. And he clocked out, and he walked by the desk, and everybody was out doing something. Nobody at the desk, and the phone rang. And he reached out and picked up the phone and said, hello. And there's a lady upstairs said, I'm hungry for fried chicken. I want fried chicken. I want fried chicken. I really want some. And I really would like for you to get it for me and bring it up to my room. And I'll cover the cost, and I'll be kind to you and bless you because I really want fried chicken. He said, let me go see. So we went to the kitchen. It was 11 o'clock. Kitchen was closed. And they said, no, we're not going to fix some lady fried chicken just because she has a hankering for fried chicken. And so we're cleaning up the kitchen, and we don't want to redo everything and re-clean it all. We just don't want to do that. So he started calling around. He called all the restaurants around. 11 o'clock, everybody was closed. Even the fast food places were closed. You know, Hardee's was closed. And all those places that might have some chicken were closed. So he tried. He reached out. And 10 or 15 minutes later, he calls the lady up in the room and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. Everybody's closed. There's no fried chicken anywhere in the area. I can't find it. I apologize. And the lady said, you know, you don't understand me, young man. I'm willing to pay for fried chicken. I would give you $400 if you can find me fried chicken at 11:15 at night. And Isaac said, let me see what I can do. And he went down to the ladies in the kitchen, And he said, ladies, I'll give you $100 if you'll cook me up 3 or 4 pieces of fried chicken. And the lady said, fried chicken coming up. We're working on it now. And they opened up the deep fryer and turned everything back on and fried up some chicken and then put it on a plate, made it nice. Isaac carries it up to the lady's room, knocks on her door. She opens the door, invites him in with a piece of the chicken on a plate or platter. And there's food there all over. There's chocolate-covered strawberries that have been half-eaten. There's bottles of wine or whatever laying around. And there's other food. She's already had a meal, a dinner, and there's food sitting around. And so she had eaten, but she wanted fried chicken. And she said, look, I bless my children and my grandchildren when they help me out and do what I want them to do. And so I'm not going to give you $400. I'm going to give you $500. She peeled off 5 $100 bills or whatever and handed him 500 bucks. He walked downstairs into the kitchen. He peeled them off. Well, he probably hid the wad and had $100 in his hand and handed it to him. But what he needed was $400 to leave at 8 o'clock the next morning on a flight to Peru with me to go preach to the Peruvians. I'm telling you, that miracle doesn't get old for me. I'm never going to be done with the miracle of my wife's healing. I'll tell you, I'm never going to be done with the miracle of his healing. I'm never going to be done with the miracle of your healing. I'm never going to be done with that. Amen. My leftovers are going to last me for the rest of my life. Amen. I'm going to still tell the story. I've got baskets full of stories of God doing miracles in people's lives, washing away sin, taking away drugs, taking away alcohol. Amen. They're baskets. We have baskets full and running over of what God has done in people's lives. Amen. How he's changed them, how he's washed them, how he's recreated a new person in Christ. Picked us up. Amen. My family's blessed. My children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed. My church is blessed. Amen. What good are leftovers? If you ever think God's not enough, pick up a laundry basket. Just carry it around for a while. Think about, God's got enough for me and to fill it. God's got enough, amen, to overflow this. So when I get home, I've got miracles to share. Who ate day-old miracle bread? Do you think anybody just said, here's some old bread. You eat it whenever you want it. I don't want no bread like that no more. I've had enough bread today. You just eat it. No big. I met somebody said, you'll never believe this. Amen. That might have went home to the community. You'll never believe. Amen. This was five loaves of bread. Five little bitty loaves of bread. And look, it's piled up. Take a bite. It's miracle bread. Amen. It's not Wonder Bread. It's miracle bread. It's not Miracle Whip, it's Miracle Bread. Take a bite. Amen. You'll never believe the story. This is proof. Amen. A little boy had a couple of little loaves of bread. He just had a couple of little loaves of bread. And so the miracle kept being spread around and spread. Grab one, grab two. Amen. You look like you're hungry today. Grab a couple. Amen. This is miracle bread. This is miracle bread. Amen. This is... Can you imagine somebody just saying, well, it's just bread.
Amen. I'll leave it out of the corner. It's not really worth anything to me. I'm not even going to tell the story about the bread. Somebody had a time. Amen. You ought to just see Jesus. You ought to see what Jesus can do. You ought to see how he can heal. You ought to see how he can save. You ought to see the miracles that he did. Amen. Don't ever stop telling people how good God is, how much God can heal, how much God can save. Amen. You might just feed somebody. You might just feed somebody. You might just change somebody when they see the bread left over in your basket. I'm amazed at the goodness and the blessing of God. I'll never quit telling of Elisa's baby, Joshua. When she videoed me on Christmas Day and she showed her little baby boy with his eyes open, and the doctors had determined on Wednesday they were going to put him down whether Elise liked it or not. And we wrestled with that. We prayed about that. And then she called me on Christmas Day. And he was bright-eyed, and we video chatted, and she said, "Look at him, look at him, look at him. He's looking at you. He's looking at me." I know the end result was not exactly what we hoped for, but you're never going to take away, amen, that God allowed your son to live another 3 months. You got to hold him. You got to bathe him. You got to love him. Amen. There's no way he's going to go to heaven and say, "Hey, God, my mom really didn't care much for me." Because you poured your love out on him. You sacrificed. Amen. And whatever it was God was doing, he honored that faith. And he kept you with him for a length of time. That's a miracle. It's a miracle of your faith and your prayers and our faith and our prayers. Amen. And I know God took him. He's in no more pain. But still, Elise, you're worshiping here today at the miracles God does, and you worshiped at that miracle as well. Amen. Thank the Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And take all the blessings that God has given me. And I want to thank you for this miracle. I want to thank you for my boys. The doctor said we'd never have. I want to thank you for Titus, the boy that the doctor said could kill my wife and my son. I want to thank you for all baskets and baskets and baskets of blessings and miracles, more abundant than you or I ever deserve. Amen. He wanted to show Philip that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Amen. C.S. Lewis said, "Miracles are retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for us to see." So many miracles, so many things that God has done that he doesn't want to be a moment in time and then forgotten. He gives us to fill us over and over with untold, often unrecognized miracles. Why do we dance? Why do we shout? Why do we say hallelujah in church? This hand, it's for the miracles that he has done. And in this hand, for the miracles he's yet to do. Amen. We've seen God do it, and we believe God's going to do it again. Amen. God's going to answer the prayer. Amen. The unmet need. Sometimes the unprayed prayer. The unsaved loved one. The financial need. The emotional need. The spiritual need. The physical need. There's so many levels to us. Amen. And we have a God that's more than enough. Stand with me, would you? I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. Would you put your hands up and just think about what he's done for you? Begin to magnify him just a moment. Amen. Look in your basket just a moment. I know you have been throughout this sermon. Amen. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. How many miracles has he done? How many answers, amen, to prayers prayed has he given? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Amen. He is more amen. Don't just leave that there. Don't leave what God has done in just that moment. Just that day on just that mountain. I've had the privilege of going to the area here where this miracle happened. Still today, there are huge slopes, grassy fields going up, hundreds and hundreds of feet, just a gentle slope up to the top of the hill and then over the top. And there's a valley beyond that hillside on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. Amen. That's just a very fertile valley. It just goes for miles. Beautiful, beautiful place. Literally, water just bubbles up out of the ground, coming out of the mountains. It just bubbles up out of the ground, and they water their crops by water bubbling up out of the ground. It's really a unique place. Don't listen to me carefully. How many times have we put that leftover in a Tupperware and put it, and somehow it works its way into the back of the fridge until you're growing your own penicillin farm. And you pick it up and say, well, I wonder what that was. When you open it up, you can't tell what it was because it is something new now or something nasty now. And that thing that you bottled up for later, you forgot about. And it rotted, and then you have to throw it away. Get the bag out of the trash, choke it off, because it's going to kill you if you leave it in the open air. Take it out to the garage and put it in the dumpster. Amen. I guess today I want to remind you of what God has done. And hope you draw something out of that for what God wants to do. the lesson for the day for Philip was not for the grassy hillside. Listen to me. The lesson wasn't for the grassy hillside. Jesus wasn't thumping his chest like Tarzan. Look what I've done today. But it really was to plant something deep inside of his heart. Because he's going to have to walk and see Jesus hanging on a cross. See him pulled off and put into a tomb. And he's going to have to hold on to his faith. And then he's going to be one of the apostles. Has the opportunity to preach to the world. And you know, he said, one day I was on a hillside and God asked me if I had enough. And I'm telling you, in that moment, I couldn't think of any way possible that I had enough. But I'm here today to tell you, I still don't have enough. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I'm going to tell you about Jesus, because that's something I've got. I'm going to tell you what Jesus can do, because that's something I've got. Amen. Acts 1 and 8, ye shall be witnesses. My Lord, tell somebody. I don't know if you have the same feeling in the spirit that I have. Amen. But I feel the Lord here today. Tell somebody. Tell somebody, please open your basket. All you've got is the leftover of miracles in the past. Open your basket. Share your miracle. Share your blessing. Share the goodness of the Lord. Amen. For He cares for you to give you an abundance more than enough. Bow your head with me. Let's pray. Amen. In the name of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God, your presence here. Amen. Your spirit moves among us. God, remind us. Remind us, God, of the days of faith. Remind us, God, when we were without and you supplied. Remind us, God, of the things that you have done in our lives. Amen. God, let us not leave them lying on the ground on that day and forgotten about. I pray, God, that we would gather them up, pile them up, and carry them away to share. Amen. How good you've been. The miracles, God, you've done in our lives. I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't we just sing with them for a moment? In the name of the Lord. I'm going to close with this. Just think about this. Jesus saw impetuous Peter and saw the fragments of his life, and he called him. Jesus saw Zacchaeus, tax collector, liar, cheat. He saw the fragments of his life and called him. He saw Mary Magdalene, of whom he had to cast out demons, and saw her fragments, and she bowed before him. The promiscuous woman at the well, she already had five husbands, and the guy she was living with wasn't her husband. And he saw her fragments and said, I'm glad you've come to me. I want to talk to you about a water where you'll never thirst again. Nicodemus in night school, the woman caught in the very act of adultery, he saw her fragmented, broken life. The thief hanging on the cross, not much time left. And yet he responded to him. He had about 3 hours to live. What was he going to add to the kingdom? He couldn't offer anything but brokenness. And yet Jesus saw the fragment. That 3 hours left. And he said, I'll buy you. I want those fragments. When you turn it over to the Lord, he takes whatever you offer. It's not even about the bread. It's whatever you offer of yourself and multiplies you. Some people say, well, he doesn't want me because I'm so broken or I'm so battered or my faith has been challenged and I've failed. The moral of the story is he doesn't want anything lost. He goes and gathers around every fragment. And he would go and gather every single life, including yours. And whatever you have left, it's enough that he doesn't want it to go to waste. Whatever brokenness, whatever difficulty, whatever failure, hear Jesus say, don't leave anything left behind. I want to gather it. I want to take it with me. Just like he said to the man on the cross, this day, what a gift. This day, for 3 hours of faith, you go with me to paradise. But Jesus, it's just a fragment. I don't want it to go to waste, Jesus says. Stop listening to the enemy. Jesus values every fragment you have left. Every head bowed, every eye closed, one time. I would hope, as your pastor, that my church would see people as valuable, regardless of the fragment or the fragmented life. But whether this church values every fragment of humanity left, I want you to hear me. Jesus values every single life and wants every single life to be taken with him into eternity. Amen. He loves you so much more than you know. Amen. Let him have your fragment. Let him have your situation. Let him have your brokenness. Let him have whatever it is you have left. When the enemy's done with it and they're ready to cast it aside, he says, hey, I want to gather them up. And I think more than bread or fish, that's really the story behind the miracle. Amen. I feel like I just must open up the altar. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost here very strongly. Amen. And I'm going to open up the altar. If you'd like to step out and come down, we're just going to sing this once or twice more, and you can be dismissed. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. God, I praise you. God, I praise you. Amen. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord.